I do want to mention that Ken and Melinda raise all of their own funds. That's why they're called missionaries. And so if any of you as individuals would like to be involved with that, please see them. They would love to have you give to them in a small way, monthly or what have you. So please, if you're interested in that, see them afterwards. I know he would love to tell you about that. At Church of the Falls, we have three real focuses for our children's ministry. I'm going to break it down in three areas for you. One is our Bible classes. They've been going on forever, and they teach the whole counsel of God. We're learning about creation, and we're learning about David and Goliath and all these different stories, and we're exposing our children to the broad counsel of God. And then we have something called our children's church, which is really focused on worship, and they learn to sing and to pray. I think there's even announcements. It's kind of a whole agenda to allow them to celebrate the Lord and to respond to him together. And as they grow older, we hope they'll just transition into worshiping as a young adult and as an adult. And the third tier is Awana. That's really the evangelistic piece. It's outside of our normal time. It's in the evening. It's also distinctively gospel-centric. We're not learning about David and Goliath typically in Awana. We're learning about what Jesus did on the cross. And there's a consistent focus there. It's also somewhat of a brand name, so a lot of people will come to our area and say, hey, where's the Awana Club? And they will join it because they are looking for that because their kids have been through it. So it's a real evangelistic way to draw people in, as well as it gets the parents involved with the curriculum of the kids, which also teaches the parents what Jesus did on the cross. And so there's a tremendous evangelistic flavor to it. And specifically, as I mentioned, the gospel comes up at every level throughout their entire training to learn that. The gospel is simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It is the most powerful thing ever in our world. And it changes lives. It changes hardened criminals to soft putty. It changes hearts. It moves people. And it literally makes the world a better place. It is the redemption that we have all longed for. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the gospel. It's good news. It's something that is so tremendous. And so today, our readings this week, we're reading through the whole Bible this year. Our readings primarily come from Romans 1 to 10. And that is the most central book of any about what is the gospel and what is it going about. So I want to share with you the gospel today. The Bible in Romans, ironically, 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing the gospel, hearing the word of God, understanding what God is and what God has done. When we hear that, it builds faith in us. And so today I would like to build your faith by sharing the gospel from the readings you read this week. Romans 1 through 10. Back when I got to go to Harding for the first time, I was coming from Florida State. And Florida State, I'm sure every school gets its ranking, was like the number one party school. I was there a couple years. And I'm very aware that this is not the happiest place on earth. There's a lot of broken people, a lot of people trying to find themselves. And I went to classes with 300 or 400 people in them and got lost. And it was just an overwhelming experience. So when I went to Harding, you better believe, I had a whole new set of eyes. Everybody at Harding was whining about curfews. I'm like, hallelujah. I mean, it was something, like I got a mom and a dad again. It was just something special about it. And I really appreciate it. But I remember my very first class was Romans. Jimmy Allen's Romans. It was my first theological education of all time. I sat down in the back of the classroom on the left-hand side. There was about 100 people in there. And I'm looking at this man who's older than dirt, still to this day, come out named Jimmy Allen. And he would talk like this. He was real serious. He was like, if you get Romans, God gets you. And I was just like, I was hooked. I was like, really? I am all over this. Because he began to unpack that. We memorized big portions of Romans. And it was this idea that if you understand what God is doing, and nobody tells it better than Paul in Romans, if you understand that, you will not be able to let it go. And God will get you if you get Romans. I want to lay it out in four pieces. A very simple way to present the gospel. And I want you to remember these ideas. The first one is a problem. We all have a problem. There's a solution. There's an application. And lastly, there's a result or an impact, a consequence that comes out of that. And I want to share all four of those with you throughout the entire book of Romans. I'm going to move kind of quickly. I intentionally did not write all the passages because if you try to flip through and keep up with them, it'll be a little overwhelming. I just want you to soak this in. And if you're interested in this, I would love to share that with you. My hope is that you'll be then sharing that with others. Here's what it is. The problem. See, we have a problem. Romans tells us, Paul tells us in Romans 3:10, that there's no one righteous. Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Every one of us is broken. It's a devastating idea if you think about it. We've all, even in our own account, have broken our own conscience. We know it was wrong and we did it anyways. And every one of us know that. We all stand in that place of brokenness. 5:12 says that Adam sinned and brought brokenness and death into the whole world. Because everyone has sinned, everyone will die. You see, you just think it's cancer that's killing us. It's not. Sin brought death in the first place. And that death has creeped in all kinds of forms. And Satan loves that because it is his big power. Well, if you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm going to kill you. Every cop show says, right? That's the bad guy's way to get things done because he's holding the threat of death. It is real in our world because when we die, everything is over like Rover and there's nothing left. And there's a fear there because death has entered our world. And that is a problem. It is a really big problem. 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You know, my son this week has his first job. Now, he's had some little jobs where he mowed grass and earned some money. But this time, he got an official paycheck from a real business. And we're going to frame this bad boy. I mean, he paid taxes. I mean, it's an awesome day when your son pays taxes, right? I mean, you're looking at this, and he suddenly understands my world. And he sees it, and we're, like, excited about this paycheck. And I get to thinking, what would have happened if he'd have went into his boss and said, sir, thanks for letting me work here. I'm ready for my paycheck. And the boss would say, oh, didn't nobody tell you? We're not paying you the first time. He would have been like, what? And he'd have come home and I'd have been like, what? Right? And mama would have been like, what? We would have been talking. This is not right. What do you mean? And I'd have told all of you the story and y'all would have been like, what? He earned that paycheck. He worked hard for them. He deserves that paycheck. Those are his wages. Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The thing we deserve, the thing that we have earned because of our choices is death. That's a problem. It's a really big problem. And that's where we stand in our world unto ourselves. And I love my favorite part of Romans' problem is in Romans 7, and there's a lot there. There's like 12, 13 verses, and it's beautiful. I want you to read it one day. Let me just give you a little snippet. Paul is talking about this, and I love how he sets it up. He says, the trouble is not with the law. God's law is good. I mean, it tells us what's right and wrong. It's nothing wrong with that. The trouble is with me because I'm too human. I'm a slave to sin. In verses 22, he says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another, and this is the part I want you to capture. There's another power within me that is at war against my mind. And this power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. And then he cries out, oh, what a miserable man I am. Who can deliver me from this body? See, what Paul is helping us understand is that our mind, even once it gets right with God, we understand God's law is good. Hallelujah, the mind is right there with God. But the body's still real. The body's still tired. See, if you've not eaten for 30 days like or 40 days like Jesus, and you've been fasting, and you're overwhelmingly hungry, and you walk by, and the guy has two Big Macs sitting there, and he looks the other way. What are you thinking for a quick second? He's got two. He only needs one. Right? And I have been fasting. I'm hungry. And I could just take this. Why are we thinking that? Our mind says, no, stealing is wrong, right? But our body says, but maybe just this once. And therein lies the war. The mind over the body is always fighting. Now, God gives us tools to deal with that. But at the end of the day, as long as we're in this body, we are going to struggle with sin. And it's going to be hard work. But that's the reality of the journey we're in right now. It's a struggle. It's a problem because sin has brought death, which brings fear and condemnation and an awareness of our own brokenness. But there's a solution, and the Bible tells us about that as well. In Romans 1:16 and 17, I am not ashamed of this good news, of this gospel of Christ. Now, why would Paul be ashamed of that? How many of you ever heard a story about a God who dies? That's kind of crazy, right? I mean, think about it for a minute. If you see someone who is just awesome. I mean, he is the ultimate football player. He's more powerful than anything else. And you see this guy, you're like, man, he is like Adonis. He is like a god. He is like Zeus. You might say that, or maybe hopefully you won't, but you will think that in many people in the world, they almost worship this big power, right? He's like godness because he's so available to do whatever he wants to do. So when we come to the real God who literally can do anything he wants to do, to say that he dies, well, that kind of cuts that short, doesn't it? So there's a lot of temptation, and the world sees it as foolishness. Well, why would you be ashamed? Well, because God died. But see, Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed because he didn't just die. He let himself die, was buried, and guess what? And 3 days later, he was resurrected. And that is powerful. And that is specifically, and this is what he says, the good news about Christ is the power of God at work. Remember, there's a power of sin that's fighting us. The power that's going to take down that is this, the gospel of Jesus, saving everyone who believes, first for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. The good news or the gospel tells us how God makes us right with him. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it's through faith that a righteous person is saved. There's something really powerful about what Jesus did. It was the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Say that with me. Death, burial, resurrection. It all hinges on what Jesus did. And that is real power. And it changes the world. In 5:19 of Romans, it connects because one person sinned, Adam, thank you. We're going to have a conversation one day in heaven, Adam. Because Adam sinned, death came into the world and we all die and we all sin, we're all broken. But by that same standard, because one man was obedient, Jesus, we all have an opportunity to get a new body and a new eternity and a new life. And that's the parallel that he makes as the solution. Think about it this way. Let's say you go to the doctor and you've got this horrible thing going on inside of you. And the doctor sits you down and does a blood test and says, okay, we've discovered, here's your problem. And this is the disease that's going to kill you if you don't fix it. But there's good news. There's a 99.99% survival rate. If you take two of these for the next 14 days, come back and check up on me. And we'll give you another blood test and you'll see it's all good. It's all okay. Go and do that. And you go, hallelujah, I know what's up. I've got this disease and I've got this prescription. He writes it out. He says, go. And you take it with you and you go home and sit on your couch and go to sleep and say, everything's good. What's going to happen to you in a few days? You're still going to die, right? Because you never went to the prescription. You never got what you were supposed to do and took it. There's something important about our response to things. Now, the power is not in my taking of the medicine. Of course not. The power is in the medicine. But guess what? God has called us to respond to the medicine and to apply it. So there's a problem, and it's sin that brings death. There's a solution, and it is the gospel of Jesus. It is the death, the burial, and resurrection, but there's also an application. God has designed this so that we get a choice to take the medicine or not. Makes sense, right? Well, he talks about that. A few different ways, a few different places. I'll just read a couple of them. In Romans chapter 6, we read this. Have you forgotten that you were joined with Christ in baptism? We joined him in his death. See, I want you to capture this for a minute. See, what Paul is getting is, he's not ashamed of death, burial, and resurrection because he knows if you let your body die, that's the thing that's bothering you, right? And you get a new body, there's no more problems. Do you see that? It's brilliant. It's like, well, I've got my mind and it wants to do what God wants me to do, but my body is fighting against me. What do I do? God says, let the body die and I'll give you a new one. And until that time, we're going to emotionally and mentally let it die. I'm going to let the old self and all the desires die. See, death is an important concept. And then I'll resurrect in something new. And so he connects that right here. He says, don't you know that you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism? You were joined in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory and the power of the Father, we too may live new lives or be resurrected. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. See, all the things that we're worried about, the problem that we have, we connect to the power of the gospel by imitating it. I think it's very significant that Jesus chose baptism because it's so significant. You literally die, you're buried into water. That's why sprinkling doesn't make sense. It's not a part of that visual. To go down into the water, you're dead. You're buried. But guess what? You don't stay down there. And you come back up and the water comes off and you're now a new person joined with Christ. And there's something amazing about that. And it's a visual that for all eternity, since Christ has come, has been a powerful visual for the whole world. Now, is there anything special in the water? Say no. Is there anything special about you really actually believe this day? No. You don't have any power. That's the whole point. Where's the power? Death, burial, resurrection. Say it with me. Death, burial, resurrection. That's the power of God unto salvation. Not water and not baptism. And he goes on in chapter 10, we read something else. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. That's important. If we don't really believe this stuff, why are we doing it? He says also, it is when we openly declare with our mouth our faith, we are saved. All of these things are really important because what God is getting at is this is the taking of the medicine. This is when we say to the whole world, I'm no longer mine, but I belong to him. My part has died and been buried. And I've confessed with my mouth, I've been baptized, I've started a whole new life, and now I trust that God is going to do something amazing in me. And the problem of my sin and death is no longer a problem. Because the power of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection has now taken over. And I know it because I've applied the medicine. I've been baptized, I've confessed with my mouth, I'm living a new life, I'm studying my Bible. All the things I'm doing are just trying to profess to the whole world that it's not about me anymore, it's all about him. He is the Lord of our life. But these things are really critical. It's the connection. Chapter 11, verse 6, I love what Paul says here. If he chose them by grace, talking about the people who've been saved, then it is not what they have done that made them his people. If they could be made his people by what they did, then the gift of God's grace would not be actually a gift. See, this is the wages part again. What do we deserve? What is our wage? What have we earned by our sin? You can speak out loud. Death. So Jesus comes along and lives a perfect life without sin, and his wage is eternal life. And he says, you know what? I've already earned the right wage, and I'm going to give it to you. You get my wage. The wages you deserve is sin, is death, but I'm giving you a new wage. It is one of eternal life. See, that's the rest of that passage. The wages of sin is death, but praise be to God, through Jesus we get eternal life. He's given us a different wage. And that's what's so joyful about it. That's why we call it good news, because Jesus has brought something very special. But here's the result. When we confess with our mouth, when we are baptized, when we start a new life and we begin to walk with Jesus, here's what we can learn. There's so many blessings. I just want to read a few of them. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight, it's beautiful, right? We have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done. Jesus did it. We get the peace. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. I don't know what God's glory looks like, but I want some of it. And the Bible says that when we connect with Jesus, we have something to look forward to. It's not just in this world, it's the next world. We have a new body, we have a new glory, and we'll get to share in something very special for eternity. And we have peace with God. 5 verses 3 through 5, we read a little bit more. We can rejoice also in our problems. Even the problems in this world are no longer a problem because nothing can hold us. You got cancer? You might die. That's a little scary. Guess what? There's a new body coming. And I can rest in that. And I can have peace in that, knowing that there is no fear anymore. Because this world is not what it's all about. It's the next one. And I'm just trying to be the best I can be here. And God's given me a chance to develop character. And at the end of that passage, it says that the Holy Spirit will fill our hearts with love. See, this is the beautiful part. We also get the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when we come up out of the water of baptisms, God gives us his Spirit. And that Spirit guarantees our salvation. It stands with us. It empowers us. It leads us in all kinds of ways. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 2. There is now no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. Did you catch that? We want power. There's two kinds of power. There's the eternal power of a new body that Jesus on the cross is going to give us. Because in the next world, we will not have a weak body. Hallelujah. But there's a second power, and that is the power of the Spirit that we get right now. The minute you come out of the water of baptism, God sends his Spirit in you, and it empowers you to walk with him in this world. So now our mind says, I don't think I want to steal. Man does not live by bread alone, as Jesus said. But my body's saying, but you're really hungry, and you really ought to, and you really want to, don't you? And my mind says, no, I don't know. And we're in this battle. Guess what? God gives us an atom bomb of power to say, you know what? You can't win anymore. And we'll still struggle, but we'll have success, and we'll have the reason why, because the Spirit will fill our heart with love and give us power to overcome it. There's no condemnation. 8 verses 14 through 17. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. What? We get to be children of God. Now we get to call him Abba, Father. It's kind of a vernacular for daddy. The God of the entire universe pulls us in and says, call me daddy. Just soak that in for a minute. Daddy. We have a problem. It's sin and it's killing us. And there's a solution, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the application is when we confess and we are baptized. But the impact is amazing. We are not part of a family. Jesus is our brother. God is our father. We call him daddy, and we have been grafted into something special. And since we are his children, we are also his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs to God's glory. There it is again. Don't know what it is, but I want it. God's glory we get. And then the Spirit even helps us in our weakness. 26 and 27. For the Bible says that we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot even be expressed with words. And the Father who knows our hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. He knows exactly what we need and exactly what God wants. And he prays accordingly for us in ways that we can't even, don't have language for. What an amazing gift. Overwhelming victory. What shall we say, 31 and 32? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody, right? If he gave his only son, won't he give us everything? Church, this is good news. And I don't know how many of you have already committed your life to the Lord. Some of you need to be reminded of the good news so you can just wake up with a little bit more of a smile on your face. Say, you know what? I really have such blessing in my life. Look at what God has done in me. And some of you don't know this joy yet. And I want to call you today to do something about it. Faith comes by hearing. You have heard today what God has done to you. My question is, do you get Romans? Like Jimmy Allen said, do you get it? Does God get you because you get Romans? Do you understand what God has done for you? It is all joy. It is all blessing. And then as Michael read earlier, nothing can separate us from that. When we give our life to the Lord, it's locked and sealed and guaranteed. I love you guys. And I know there are a lot of faces in here that I don't recognize this morning. I'm not sure where you're at in your life. I'm not sure what God has been working on you to do. He's the one who's the mastermind of all this. I'm just a broken servant trying to speak what I believe God has called me to speak, and I'm going to mess it up a lot. But if you're listening, you'll hear God's voice. And I hope that he will call you to what you need to do. I want to invite you today. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. It's a time of response. And I realize some of you may be right now ready to be baptized. Hallelujah. We'd love to do that. But some of you are just starting to go, you know, I need to think about this a little differently. I want to encourage you to meet with someone you trust that knows the Bible. You're always welcome to grab one of your shepherds here, or Michael and myself or Jared. We would love to study and talk with you. But this is good news, and I want you to know about it. I want a day to go by for you to miss this. If you need to respond in any way, or if you'd like to grab us afterwards, feel free to do that. But you can come forward. Let's stand together and let's sing. Let's praise God, and I want you to listen to what God is saying to you.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control.
May you go in the power of God, and may you know how truly wonderful the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is. May you connect to it. May you commit to it with your mouth and with your body and with your life and in baptism. And may you go powerfully into the future, knowing that God will never be separated from you and that his love is safe and secure in your heart. God bless you. Go in peace.
Redeemed.